You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are discussing the return of the Premier League, the introduction of James Rodriguez to Everton Football Club, and of course, next up, Jack Harrison scoring his first goal in the Premier League. Let's go.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Pablo Maurer about a story he did about my dad, Diego Maradona, playing in Toronto, the greatest Canadian player of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, that and more today on the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go!
Come on, all right. You got to duck out a little bit. I know how to turn that wrist.
Okay, well, I don't even know what that... Alexa, you ever been in a fight? I
don't
know.
Son, don't you know how to throw a real punch? You got to turn the wrist.
Okay, look at that flick of the wrist. All right,
look at
everybody.
Flick of the wrist. Look, eventually we get to soccer on this show. It's a little bit about fighting stances.
Yeah, don't ask me about fight. I've never been in a fight. So, okay. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Cobra Kai Guerrero.
Okay. Hi, yeah. We're your favorite martial artist. Okay. Uh-huh. That hosts the funniest soccer show on television.
It's not just that. It's also the Cobra Kaiist, and it's also the gulliest.
Correct. Yeah, you know, it's weird. Cobra Kai has been on YouTube TV for like a month.
And, ain't nobody watching that.
Nobody watched it. Nobody had YouTube TV. No. What are you talking about?
It's like six people.
And then it's on Netflix, and it's like, yo, have you heard of this Cobra Kai show?
This thing's pretty good. Some of the references seem dated. Like, they're not talking about the pandemic at all.
Yes, welcome to the show. Obviously, we're going to, you know, recap Cobra Kai. That's why we do this program.
We've pivoted to Cobra Kai reaction.
You thought we were going to, you know, talk about how exciting the Premier League was, the first round of matches, the first weekend. No. Slow down, buddy.
Christian's going to take all the jerseys down from behind him. We're going to put on our geese. We're about to go step for step, punch for punch through this entire episode.
We're kidding. We're comedians and we joke around a lot. But let's
thank
start.
You for clarifying that, because you know, some at least people. Two people were like, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm gonna unsubscribe.
I signed up for a Fubo TV subscription, but for the wrong reasons, clearly. The Premier League started up this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And oh boy, we didn't know what teams would look like. We didn't know who was staying, who was going, and
everything still seems like in flux. Like, contracts aren't announced, and who knows? Mesut Ozil still on Arsenal? How's that even possible? There's so many things that it feels like you're moving into a house, but the paint isn't dry yet. Like, all right, put everything wherever you want. Don't touch the walls.
It's strange, just because we didn't have the usual long break. There's no preseason. This is the preseason right now. Yeah. Well, there is. It's preseason, but everybody is ready and in match fitness. Right.
It was 2 weeks, and they're like, "Look, all right, everyone, go to Ibiza, get coronavirus, get it out of your system, and then come back." And the only people who listened were all of PSG.
Yeah, who was it? Because we know it was Neymar tested positive.
I think Mbappe. Di Maria. Did Mbappe also?
Yeah, Mbappe tested positive. Man. Okay, hopefully he can just run away from it.
Fast, I'm surprised he wasn't so fast. A droplet travels how far? I got that. Ain't nothing.
You ain't catching me. They're like, COVID-19.
And Bubba, you need to be 6 feet. How'd you get 6 feet while I was saying the sentence?
So let's go. Premier League matches did begin, and obviously you see me rocking the Everton kit.
I'm also an Everton fan this week. Thank you so much.
They played against Tottenham. Woo. Boy, hottest team in the league.
You know what I wish? I wish Tottenham would have played against Everton, because they did not. They showed up and they did a kickabout. I think they still think it's preseason.
I don't want to don't do all that, because you're not putting enough respect on the toffees or the tofeteros, as we have mentioned in the past. The Jordan Pickford had a bunch of great saves. Defensively,
Jordan Pickford was a magician. I don't know how. It's because he knows all these players from playing in England. He's like, Harry Kane, I know what you're going to do. Dele Alli, don't even get me started.
No, he had a good game, a couple really, really huge saves. But no, we have to talk about James Rodriguez, match in the Premier League, looking clean. I don't think he even broke a sweat. He was having a good time out there.
I was talking all types of trash about how he was going to be slow and he hadn't played a meaningful minutes and whatever. He came in, he was like, Ancelotti, the usual? You want me to do what I always do, or you want me to take it easy?
You want scrambled or mix it up? What you need?
Everybody out of the way. I know how Anchi takes it. I got you, Papa. It was amazing.
He played a great. He was the regista. All right. Yeah. He did his job. When you mentioned you just said, oh, I thought he was gonna be slow. He was quite slow, but that's not why you don't need him to be fast. Okay?
No, but he was reading the game. He was only slow because he knows he already saw those episodes of Cobra Kai. He knows what's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
He knows the move. Well, you know what you're gonna do before you even do it.
He's doing that thing where like you know your friend watched this movie already because they're like, yo, watch this, and you're like, stop it. My eyes are on it. I'm watching it. You can stop telling me something's gonna happen.
Man. Look, as an Everton fan, it is just after like the last couple years, at least two, 3 years, to have a player that just has a little bit of vision. Okay?
Can I just say something? You have a midfielder that is passing forward. How does that feel?
Bro, what is it? Christmas already? What is it? Damn. I feel like it's Boxing Day already.
Damn, son.
Okay, I feel like a peasant and the king is giving me some gifts. Okay?
Right? They just dropped off a turkey to your hut.
Oh, thank you. You know what?
I mean,
I don't have running water or electricity, but this turkey is lovely.
Also, the dysentery is setting in, and I think I'm dying soon. But thank you for this uncooked turkey and me having no means to cook it.
Yes. And you know what? You're welcome for the history of Boxing Day by the Cooligans.
So, but I'm pretty sure those are facts. By the way, it seems like Arsenal won twice this weekend because Tottenham lost and Arsenal bodied the competition, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal did play quite well. What was they won 3-0, obviously, against Fulham. They're still in the championship. They haven't done it ready yet.
We both got clean sheets, son. Like, we did the laundry, my dude.
Okay. And we have to, before we go to commercial break, we have to discuss Jack Harrison, Leeds playing against Liverpool. And what opening, starting the Premier League, did Jack Harrison, he didn't get the first goal of the Premier League season, but to be in the conversation with the Aubameyangs, the Salahs, with just great goals.
Are you kidding me? An NYCFC product got his first goal with Leeds in the Premier League against the champion. That script right there,
bro,
done. That's a movie.
Okay. And in that movie, it starts off when we name the burger after
it. Facts.
Okay. Later in the show, we will be joined by Pablo Maurer of The Athletic, talking about a great, great article, new piece that he has just written. So make sure you check it out.
It's about my dad.
It's about Alexis's dad. Yes, it's a hard-hitting piece. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about what happened in the Prem this weekend. Let's focus on Leeds for a second, because we did talk about, we're very happy for Jack Harrison, one of the homies, scoring it. Yeah, I mean, and an incredible goal, too. It wasn't even... It was just unreal.
No, he was chopping up defenders. That it's not even like it actually went in. It was like, no, homie, I'm going to make this happen.
Okay, you look comfy out there. It felt like one of those, like, you know, maybe Jurgen Klopp sees this goal, and he's like, oh, okay, who's this young man? Do I need him on my squad?
Right, you know, maybe I should buy this young man who just destroyed my back line.
But the other thing that happened after the match, this was a crazy match. It was going back and forth. The fact that Leeds, two kind of just dumb penalties is pretty much why they lost this game. But
100%.
They could have very much won this game.
When they were first coming in the interview, Bielsa said, like, we're going to play our style. We're not going to do anything different. to start with. He was like, shit may change in the Premier League. All right, this might not work. But for right now, we're going to go full steam ahead with his insanity looking style of pressing and players running all over the place.
Yeah.
And oh my God, was it entertaining.
Yeah, the effort was there. The energy was there. I did not expect Leeds to be so competitive against Liverpool, but yeah. they just looked great. But
the adrenaline was clearly there of being like their first match in the Premier League.
And I want to focus on the post match the press conference, not even press conference, just the interview after the match.
Yeah, where they wheel out like the step and repeat, the see through step and repeat on
and,
the pitch.
And Bielsa does not speak English. He does on camera.
He doesn't have the grasp of it completely. Where I would say, where he feels comfortable having an interview in it.
Yeah, and then you deal with the a little bit of the criticism or xenophobic kind of comments of like, why hasn't he learned English? You see that from a lot of the English media or pundits or whatever.
Yeah. Learn to pronounce the X in sixth and then we'll talk.
Yeah. So look, we've had this conversation a whole bunch, just enough. Hopefully people stop it, but whatever. But the fascinating thing was that his translator, he has a translator who's Colombian, by the way. You could hear the accent clearly.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but Bielsa does this great thing where he wants to convey the emotion and what he's saying, so he wants it translated in the same sort of tone.
He's like, don't translate the words, translate the emotion. Because at one point, the translator goes to answer the question, and I don't want to say he's meek, but he's very respectful of the situation, and he's giving you like a very monotone response. And Bielsa turns over and goes, hey. Say it with your chest.
Yeah.
Like, yo, fam. Put some emotion in it. Yeah. You're not reading a poem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a cool thing, which shows that he is clearly passionate about his job, and this is the circumstance.
Every detail is important to him.
Yeah.
He including doesn't want
to speak poorly and something be misconstrued or his accent be the thing that people are talking about in the news. He doesn't want to be made fun of. He is a professional and he wants to get it very clear.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say. You are translating. All right. So
I want the dude to be like throwing his hands like, ¿Qué coño? ¿Tú sabes lo que está pasando aquí? It'd be great. Now, Christian, some people don't like international football, right? And I think the reason for that is, and I said it that way because we're talking about Europe. I think the reason for that is because you don't get the excitement. You don't get the drama. You don't get the tea. You know what I mean? You don't get the shade. England took care of that, though, right?
Yeah, right. Really, page six is really letting us down by not covering these stories.
Yeah, dude. It should be like page zone six for the spot on the soccer field. Like, Harry Maguire goes out. He's fighting cops. He's bribing cops in Turkey or in Greece.
All alleged, but you know what? But
not alleged.
He's in the headlines.
He got found guilty, my G.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Was the appeal? Whatever. Okay, we'll get
apparently in Greece, if you appeal, it takes away the previous guilty verdict. Which, genius, right? And I've said this before. I have no idea why you're fighting this dude. Go home. You're not getting jail. Just when you get there, be like, it's all corrupt over there, you know? Do whatever you want. But then everyone thought like, all right, so he's not on the team. That allows Jack Grealish to get in. Everything's great in Camp Southgate. And then they go to Iceland, right? And Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood, who I believe are both making their England senior team debut.
Right,
And these are
at the UEFA Nations League.
At the Nations League. Yeah. They're playing Iceland. Country's got 380,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get in too much trouble, right? I looked this up. In 2017, they had just under 180,000 women in the entire country. So you can't possibly get in trouble here. You just go, you play a quick game of footy, probably a lot of snow, and you go home. Mason Greenwood. And Phil Foden were like, hold up, I got a plan. Now, the only reason we know this is because they were outed by two women. They paid, supposedly, this is all alleged, they allegedly paid a hotel worker to sneak two girls in. And those girls was ready with the Snapchat.
Yeah, and when we say outed, I don't think they did this on purpose. They were just like, hey, we're hooking up, you know, we're going to meet up with these two footballers and whatever. And that's already enough, right? Because these two guys are very, very famous.
Here's the problem, though. One of these women is an international beauty queen from the you know, stories. So okay. She's probably followed by quite a few people.
Alexis, you call every woman that.
I know. Again, Christian's an international beauty queen. My mother is an international beauty queen. No, like, she legitimately is, like, kind of Instagram famous, or I guess Snapchat famous in this case. So if you're going, and apparently Mason Greenwood has a lady and a kid at home who are like, oh, what's happening on the internet? You know, I mean, first of all, shouts to these guys for finding two women in Iceland who don't already have.
The Icelandic men have a lot of trouble doing that.
There's Icelandic footballers going, come on.
we don't even have any enough to go around.
Right. It's not fair. But they found two women. They did everything from, I guess, although now I'm hearing this is a different woman that he was kicking it to on the phone.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's throwing game at this girl, but someone is recording her on speakerphone. I mean, this is better. This is better than Scotland Yard. You
know what I mean? So obviously the penalty here and the reason they cannot do this is obviously for all
great
the,
use of a pun penalty. Very nice.
They were sent home. They were sent home and kicked off from international duty because you COVID is the pandemic is real and they take these precautions and they take them very seriously. As a professional athlete, they are going, they're traveling the world. They're putting themselves at risk. They're putting others at risk. So they take all these precautions so that we can watch them play some footy, right?
Yeah. And like if Gareth Southgate calls you and I in, right? And be like, yo, you broke COVID rules. You can't be like, but we smashed, though. Like, you know,
yo,
what
I mean? Cap it up, bro. What's going on?
Southgate's like, yo, you scoring when we ain't even playing, my G. Put that in the stats. No. Like, yo, you can't risk the life of all of these soccer players just because you wanted to get some strange. That's not fair.
We're not being, poo-pooing or being too critical of the quote-unquote infidelity, whatever.
No, if there was no COVID rules, do your thing, my dude, whatever you want.
You got your family problems, you deal with that. It's none of our business.
I got to feel Southgate kicking you out is the least of your problems when you get home, Mr. Greenwood. I would think of maybe an apology stop at the flower shop on the way home, my G.
Imagine Southgate just going to the locker and throwing all the jerseys and clothes out the window.
Yeah, ask him. Southgate's like, ask him who called him when he wasn't in the first team.
He knows what he did,
okay? I'm going to my mother's. Why are you going to your mother's, Southgate?
Gareth, I feel like you're overreacting. Anyway, yo, so like, I mean, look, this is, you can follow this story on Twitter. You can see all there's a big back and forth. There was an apology from the women. One of the women is saying, she's like, I didn't know that Phil, and she's like,
I deleted it all too late though.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, look, even if there was no pandemic, this stuff would still go out. But the reason people are more upset is because obviously the players are they are taking those risks, and the bigger news is that they got kicked off the squad.
Yeah, right? I like this little kind of bad boy era of English soccer though, you know?
Is it?
Yo, isn't Harry Maguire's, you know, ACAB in Greece. These dudes is smashing on the internet. I mean,
but they know better, man. It's like it's
are you kidding me? Pickford's gonna start an OnlyFans. This is gonna get wild, dog.
It's just it's the bad boy, the digital age bad boy. Yeah, okay?
They're not on your dad's websites.
it's so easy to avoid. You just like it just impedes their growth and figuring out what they do in their professional careers. Look, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it was much easier to be a piece of shit and be a player and do
you could be as scummy as you want. It took the newspapers like 7 weeks to figure it out.
Okay, you're still using carrier pigeons back then, right?
That was wild, dude. Faxes and now beep, 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 beep. Morse code and all that. But
this is a thing that professional athletes just have to be more mindful of and be more careful of with everything going on. So look,
find you some girls that don't have Snapchat followers. Six figures.
What's the rule? In comedy, the rule is if you're dating somebody with a headshot, that's a problem. Okay?
That is the rule. Yep.
You can't be dating anybody
you
with a headshot.
You messed up.
Okay. Let's get into some Major League Soccer news because there's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
First off, New York Red Bulls.
Speaking of breakups, they pulled a Mason Greenwood's girlfriend, right?
New York Red Bulls have sacked their coach, Chris Armas. I think coming to probably a bit of a shock to a lot of Red Bulls fans. I think some are
quite happy about this
as well. But the Rebels have not been getting the results. They didn't make it into the knockout rounds in the MLS's back tournament. And you know, but they also have been people making the case like, you know, the Rebels did not give him a proper team. They didn't replace the players that they really needed to. They didn't get DPs. So he didn't have too much to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I can't completely fault them for the results, right? Like, it's not exactly his fault when you take ingredients out of the kitchen and the new chef can't cook as well as the old one. It's like, well, I mean, you really didn't give him enough to work with. That said, Jesse Marsh, I couldn't remember his name for a second. Yeah. When Jesse Marsh leaves and he walks in, the team didn't play the same. You know what I mean?
But they still played pretty well.
They
won that supporter shield with him. They've done okay.
But I think what you notice is like a little bit of the edge was gone. There was something missing. And then the next season, it just continued to carry over. And it seemed to have gotten less and less sort of, I mean, the Rebels were never an incredible team. They were a team that always played much bigger than they actually were. And for that to not continue, it seems like Marsh could do better with this club than he can. And that's sort of, I think that's still lingering. And I know they got this new guy, Thelwell, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, who seems to be getting some pieces in. You know, I think the issue was, it's like, let's not go out and do all the shopping and let this guy mess it up. And that's sort of how it felt. But really, this is bad for us because this is a Caribbean soccer legend, right? He's Puerto Rican and Cuban. Mm-hmm. And he's from Long Island. I mean, he sounds like he speaks with marbles in his mouth when he talks. You know what I mean? This is one of us.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's unfortunate. I think he got a bad end of the deal here. I think this was
I think he got a lot more time than even – I think COVID extended his career, to be completely honest.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think these firings during this pandemic are a little strange because of how all these different factors and unexpected things that have happened. It's difficult to judge coaches the same way. I think people are still adapting. So whatever, but that's my opinion. Let's move on to a couple other things in LA Galaxy. Right. So LA Galaxy, this MLS first round of matches, there's a lot of derbies. It's like every week there's a derby, right?
Yeah.
They just play each other. But
in Canada for sure, they're just like, are we playing you again?
So LA Galaxy and LAFC at Tráfico, LA Galaxy wins their most recent match, the last two matches.
Yeah.
And they've been playing well. Sebastian Legette has been balling. Christian Pavon playing great.
Pavon is incredible looking.
It's great to see. Look, I think Landon Donovan being on our show and really kind of calling out LA Galaxy, all of a sudden things are changing. I don't know. Did the cooling hits are responsible for all this? You're welcome, LA Galaxy.
Unless we're the ones who injured Atuesta. No.
Correct. But this was pretty incredible. After the LA Galaxy win, they post on their social media a video of Marc-Anthony Kay, obviously midfielder for LAFC, and right. Max Brados, been up friend of the show,
friend of the damn show,
been on our show, great dude,
the head of media, I believe he's the head of media over there.
Yeah, and he is basically, it's Marc-Anthony Kay and Max Brados congratulating LAFC and being
like, congratulations, Jonathan and David on the big win,
and Joe on the big win, and all this stuff. We're like, what is it? Why would they make a video congratulating LA Galaxy on this win? And then you put two and two together, and
they got coaxed into this via their cameos.
Cameo, because Cameo, obviously the website to get celebrities to do like shout out videos and stuff like that. Marc-Anthony Kay and Max Brados are on there, and I'm sure somebody pretending to be some like probably parent of a kid who plays
these
on a
three
soccer
kids,
team.
They love you guys. They love you. Oh my God.
And they used they edited this video together, and it is basically
stone cold.
Stone cold.
Stone cold. This is probably the best trolling in MLS history, no?
This is pretty good. This is a good use of this app cameo.
Yeah. And put some respect on LA Galaxy's name for their media department, because remember they did that with that shooting stars meme?
Yeah.
That kind of opened the door to a lot of this, because they got in trouble by LA Galaxy, but then it was blowing up on the internet. So they were like, what are we doing? Why are we getting people in trouble? Y'all should do more of this. All right. Yeah. We got trolling allocation money. We'll figure out a different acronym for it.
but this was pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it, it's on, we retweeted it. It's on LA Galaxy's social media. But bro, this was just so funny. And
LAFC fans are like, we got guy. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, they're winning. They're winning convincingly. And even without Chicharito, with, you know, both teams are missing pieces and things like that. But they're doing it on the pitch. And you know what? They can talk smack. Yeah.
I wonder what Bob Bradley thinks of this. He's confused by the whole thing. He's like, what exactly is cameo?
Mark, why'd you do this to us?
Don't talk into your phone ever again. Get back on the field. We need double practices. Come back after this, because we got Pablo Maurer of The Athletic. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in the Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting now because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjum of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had
Zach Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad, and we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And I mean, this is, right? We talk about just a revolving door of stars, okay? It doesn't get bigger than this. I mean, this dude writes for what? The Athletic? What The Athletic is, it's a whole other thing that you got to go through WorldStar to find it.
Yeah. But when it comes to not only big stories in American soccer, in soccer in general, it's much more specific. I don't want to even necessarily say niche, because it's bigger than that.
It's hard to explain exactly what it is. It's like stories you didn't know you wanted to know about,
exactly.
But you really need to know about. You know
correct.
What I mean? And how impressive is it that he does all this while hanging out in abandoned buildings in the Catskills. I mean, that's really impressive. The Wi-Fi is the where's he get it?
You the know? Drones. It's a man of many trades. But yes, please introduce our guest.
We've talked to him before. We absolutely love him. Good friend of the show. One of the best writers on The Athletic, and also on What The Athletic. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving a very old car that is half car, half pickup, pull to the side and put your hands together for the one, the only mechanic to answer my text. Ladies and gentlemen, Pablo Maur.
Pablo, what's up, man?
Thank you. Just coping with that that introduction. I appreciate it. I'm not sure what to make of it. My stories are niche. They're total BS, and I'm barely a real soccer journalist. So,
okay,
I appreciate all.
You know what? Well, you pass all the requirements of being on this show.
That's okay? Perfect. Yeah. I mean, when we have someone on, we're like, you better not be a journalist, dude. Okay. We want no facts exactly. on this show.
Lamestream media. Yeah. We don't need them. Okay. Pablo, you are here to talk about a specific story that we got a sneak peek on that mm-hmm. you know you were
which everyone's already seen by now.
Well, exactly
by the time this airs, everyone's seen.
We're airing before the piece drops on The Athletic. Yeah. Make sure if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, make sure you are so you can guarantee that you see this piece. But it is a piece on Diego Maradona. We've seen dozens of these, hundreds of these for years. Obviously a legendary player, but this one is a little bit...
Documentaries. There's so many documentaries. I've just watched Diego Maradona in Mexico. I'm not watching documentaries about him in specific countries. It's not even about his life. Yeah.
So please tell us a little bit about the piece that you wrote recently for The Athletic on Diego Maradona.
All right. Well, we all know the story of Diego Maradona and Naples and Napoli. We know the story of Maradona with Boca Juniors, Barcelona, the Argentine national team. We know the story of Diego Maradona and the club at 3 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
What you've never read is the story of Diego Maradona signing for one game with a team, a very small minor league soccer team in Toronto, Canada.
Right?
Toronto, Italia.
So wait a minute.
You've never heard before.
The greatest player to ever play in Canada. Is Diego Maradona.
Yeah. Oh, I got Dero on line two here. He's just respecting his legacy. So. Uh-oh.
Alfonso Davies is texting me. What's up with this?
Yeah. It gets weirder. So here's how this came about. I originally set out to this story. I just had a very simple thought. I thought in 1996, when MLS was formed, Maradona was sort of at the tail end of his career. And I wanted to find out, hey, did any MLS team like take a run at this guy and try and sign him? Because that to me would have been, I mean, can you imagine Maradona with like the Miami Fusion in 1996?
Just fighting like Valderrama.
Yeah, exactly. So
Bibe versus Bibe.
Yeah. I actually ended up talking to Sunil Gulati, who was involved in the, you know, former U.S. Soccer Federation president, who was involved in sort of the, you know, the founding of MLS. And he said, oh, you know, we actually couldn't because he wasn't legally allowed to enter the United States. Because I guess like the U.S. government, because of his failed drug test at the 94 World Cup, it was not, you know, he was sort of persona non grata. So
I didn't know the U.S. government were squares, dude.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. We've been trying to keep the best soccer out of this country for years.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude.
Does he want a kick for the Jets? You know? Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
exactly. So anyways, during that sort of research, I found like a GeoCities page from 1997. If you kids remember what those are. It's just like old website, text-based.
Angel Fire. Okay. Yeah, we all have one.
Journal, it's like free thing. Squarespace. Yeah. Anyone watching the show.
Exactly. And it was just, you know, very brief description of this game he played in Toronto. So obviously I completely fell down a rabbit hole on it. And my interest was really piqued when I found out that Maradona has two brothers, Lalo and Raul. And Lalo, his youngest brother, played for Toronto Italia. So Diego Maradona came to Toronto in September of 1996 and played in midfield alongside his brother at a tiny stadium in a minor league league in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I mean, it's absolutely wild. You know, his brother Hugo, who we won't talk about anymore. This is so random. He played in Austria. He played in Japan, and now apparently he owns a bakery in Florida.
Hey,
so if you want like some pastries from Diego Maradona's little brother,
dude, that is Alexis's life dream. If that was the arc of his life, he would have totally preferred that.
Can I just say, we've joked on this show before that Diego Maradona has illegitimate children in Cuba, and that I don't know my dad, so he might be my father. Yo, honestly, there's a chance I come from this bloodline if the guy owns a bakery in Florida. Is it South Florida?
One of my favorite photos of Diego is like him in the late 90s sitting on a bench with Castro, and he's pulling his pant leg up and showing Castro a Che Guevara tattoo. I was just like, just all this confluence of...
Okay, so maybe he isn't, you know?
So this is pretty... Yeah. It is pretty wild in general, and you sent us a couple clips that people are seeing right now of not only the...
I didn't even mention the tape.
Yeah, the tape is just unbelievable. So
thank God that there's footage of this, because I'd assume minor league soccer in 1996 wasn't televised in Canada.
Yeah. I didn't know ESPN Plus deal.
There is... Yeah, how did you get this footage? Because I know that you had mentioned that... initially, there was a thought that there's no footage of this game even existed.
Yeah, I mean, I found probably two press photographs of the game through Getty, and
how did they even get that?
I mean, when you watch the tape, you see there's hundreds of photographers there, and so I don't even know like how I reached out to all these photographers to the Toronto Star, to local sort of a couple of Italian language publications in Toronto, which has a huge Italian population. Nobody had photographs. Finally, when I started talking to these players, they were like, they sent me some behind the scenes kind of locker room photographs. And then just it'd be 2 weeks ago now, one of the team members who I interviewed, I get a cold text from him, and it just says, "Hey man, I hadn't been over to my parents' house like 6 months because of COVID. But I just went over last week." And then the next text is just a photo of a VHS cassette that says Diego Maradona versus CNSL All-Stars. So I was like, fam, you got to put that in a FedEx mailer immediately. Because I don't even have a VCR. And I was like, I got a VCR. I got a AD box. I can make this. I can put this on YouTube for your children. So
you're like, I have a VCR in my car, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So he sent it to me, and I was shocked because I put the tape in expecting just to see sort of footage of the game, which that alone would have been gold. And the whole first hour of the video is, like you can see, it's sort of like handheld, shaky camcorder footage in the locker room as these like Canadian kids are like, "Oh, I got to pinch myself. I can't believe I'm playing with Diego Maradona." You know,
being real,
Maradona just laying face down, consuming every inch of the training table, signing autographs, and it's just wild, man. It's totally wild.
We are here with Pablo Maurer of The Athletic, and we are discussing the incredible piece that you just wrote for The Athletic on Diego Maradona, right, and his time in Canada.
It just sounds stupid. I'm sorry. It doesn't even sound real.
The Canadian legend, Diego Maradona. The one thing I really loved about watching just some of this footage was, obviously, Diego Maradona is just such a global superstar. He was for a very long time, arriving in Canada. But playing in this game, people are literally losing their minds. This stadium looks like it is a high school stadium, and it is filled to the brim with so many people. How many?
They also went and got a tango, two tango dancers to entertain the angle before the game.
Is there any information on why that was the case? Who thought this was a good idea to have people do tango before a soccer game?
As you know, I get way into these stories, so I tried to find the tango dancers.
I did
at least get the story behind it, which is that, and it's very simple. The owner of Toronto Italia is this, he's 88 now. His name's Louis Fiocola. He is the caricature of an old Italian dude, basically. He's incredible. I called him, his wife answers the phone, screamed 8 or 9 times for him to get on the phone. He said like, his brother Lalo told me that, I mean, it's not very creative, but his brother Lalo told me that, Diego loves women. And so I got these these tango dancers purely to entertain Diego And so Louis is like, you know, he was like, you know, you should have seen him. He was, you know, he loved the tango dancers. You know, like, it was so apparently mission accomplished, you know, but yeah, it was just that simple. But in watching the video, it's like the most random, stupid thing in the entire world.
Imagine you're in what, a 4,000, 5,000 seat stadium, and you have about half of that capacity are photographers, and you're asking them to move so two people could dance on a field that has football lines on it. So Diego Maradona can stare at a woman. I mean, if I told you that happened in Canada, you wouldn't believe me.
I just thought of a potential headline. What if I spelled Diego with like E-H exclamation point, like A? Diego? I'm going to just jump out the window now.
Yeah. I just want everyone to know, I didn't text him that. That was Pablo all by himself.
You're absolving yourself from that joke more 100%. Than saying.
Yeah. But you come on this show to shoot your shot. All right, appreciate it.
Nobody's watching, right? I mean, nobody's gonna hear it.
I heard a bang off the backboard, so
exactly. Clang.
But the simple fact, like it seems like there wasn't a plan of like he's gonna sign with the team, they're gonna be here for years. It was just like this one time event,
like a promotional stint, right?
A spectacle. And they did everything. It was a circus, right? I mean, he was just so famous. And I think you had mentioned that the stadium was the capacity was something like 4,000, but there were about 8,000 people there.
Yeah, 6,000 and 8,000. And it really was a circus. They were billing it to us. So the backstory kind of behind his arrival, I mean, he had returned after a 15-month ban after the failed drug test of the World Cup to Boca Juniors, had a really tumultuous stint there. He had just missed 5 consecutive penalty kicks, you know, over a few games, and he quit the team. You know, he told the press in Argentina, you know, there are people screaming at me saying that I'm like fat and I'm a junkie, and, you know, nobody has a right to make my daughters cry when they're walking down the street. So he just bounced. And then he bounced to Switzerland for 10 days to go to a rehab clinic. So he arrived in Canada literally the day after he gets out of the rehab clinic. He comes to Toronto and stays with his brother for, I think he was there for 10 days and plays in this game. But the CNSL and Toronto Italia, they billed it as his last game ever because he was talking about retiring.
Yeah.
So they were like, this is Diego Maradona's farewell match. Right? I mean, it's real. Like, even Maradona, I have a video of the press conference he gives when he arrives in Toronto. Somebody's like, this is your last match. And he's like, I don't know about that. I have offers from, you know, with Maradona, there's never any shortage of people suiting him because he's like a traveling circus. I mean, he's going to sell tickets wherever he goes, you know? Yeah. So even he was like, well, I don't, you know, we'll see. But it might be my last match. You know what I mean?
The owners in the back spitting out a prosciutto sandwich as he said, exactly. Whoa, we printed up billboards.
Would it kill you not to just talk right now?
Cut him off. Give him a little white.
exactly.
But you know what? I felt like he looked pretty good. I mean, as far as looking at like a healthy dude, I mean, you wouldn't really tell that.
I'm going to be real with you. I'm convinced he was clean at least then. And you know, the teammates I talked to, they were all very. I mean, it's no secret, man. Diego has struggled with a cocaine addiction his entire life and still does. Obviously, if you just said you watched the Mexico documentary, I'm sure it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, like I think. All of the teammates, I spoke to 6 people who played with him that night, and they were all like, look, man, if he was like on drugs, I had no idea. He was just like, but then they were also like, he was always up and full of energy and so positive. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, like,
yeah. he had a lot of great ideas at halftime.
Exactly. Like, what we should do is I should coach the Canadian national team.
He told me I should sign with Boca. So I don't know. I think he was clean and clear headed.
So, I mean, I do think he was, albeit briefly, in a good place. Less than a month later, he got stuck in an elevator in a hotel in Mallorca in Spain, emerged for 20 minutes, emerged from the elevator and smashed the entire hotel lobby to pieces, like throwing ashtrays. He smashed. So, I mean, obviously by then, he was back on the sauce.
The rage had come back through him. Did you get a chance to speak to any of the players that played against him?
I didn't. You've exposed one of my reporting flaws. I didn't think to do that until like last week. And by then I was just like, had so much stuff that it was like, you know, it would seem like it would be extra, you know, but.
Just because I saw one guy foul him real hard and I'm like, I want to talk to that guy. It was like, Diego's coming at me. I got one move, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, they like a lot of the players on Toronto Italia said, yeah, man, they were, you know, they were bodying the dude. You know, yeah, I mean, they have no, you know, but what do you care about Diego Maradona if you're like, you know, you're not even on the same team. Your one chance to be remembered is like, I shredded Diego Maradona's ACL. Or something.
Remember when he broke his ankle in Canada? Yeah, that was exactly. Me, kid. Enjoy your Moose Tracks chocolate.
You know? Right. Yeah. But I appreciate you calling my bad reporting out. You know,
not a problem.
Why I came here.
I spoke to some of your coworkers and they told me to say that. So
really, Sam, Paul, who was it?
It seemed like a pretty good game though, right? Because the CNSL All-Stars, they did score. I don't know if they were up. I don't know the score line itself, but it seemed like they were taking it pretty seriously. So that at the very least was pretty impressive.
I mean, one thing, I don't know if it's on the tape or not. Maradona scores the equalizing goal. So Toronto Italia goes down 1-0, and then Maradona ties the game in the second half on an Olympico directly from a corner kick.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this just adds to that. You know, I'm reading this on a GeoCities site. Like, that didn't happen. None of this happens.
It does sound like fan fiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll give a shout out to one. There's like a Canadian soccer historian who has a website, and this is the website I was on. This guy calls himself Rocket Robin. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, North America, and you know this as well as I do, you're talking maybe to one of them, but like North American soccer is full of just like the strangest people in the entire world.
Yeah.
You know, like you talk to them and you're like, this guy's a little touched in some way. I have no idea what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he was, without him, I mean, there'd be like no evidence of the game whatsoever. Without
just
his
the Geocities to keeping that up, though. I mean, why are they even still paying for the servers at Geocities?
Okay, thank you so much to Pablo Maurer of The Athletic for joining us. We appreciate you, man. It's always nice to share Diego stories, you know, just chop it up about Diego. We appreciate it. Pablo, where can people find the story and where can people find you and more of your work?
Story on The Athletic. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, please do. We just hit 1 million subscribers yesterday.
Hey, congrats. Thank you.
I'm at MLSist on Twitter, so go there if you want.
It's a good Alexis, follow.
You have any upcoming stand-up gigs you want to get a plug-in for real quick? Or...
Yeah, I'm going to be performing at an abandoned pool in the Poconos.
Right, live on Periscope.
Yeah, catch me at the COVID Cove in Pennsylvania.
Ooh. It's heart-shaped hospital beds. They're great.
So, everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports as well on all social media platforms as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of our program. Yep. So, Pablo, let us end the show the way we normally do, with the enthusiasm and the energy that you regularly bring to every TV appearance. So with that said, so for Pablo Maurer, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!